Hello again out there to all my lovely listeners. I am Raina CL and you are listening to Daybreak and Petrichor, a podcast where I talk about fascinating things from beauty trends to anime and everything under the sun. I know that I mentioned in previous episodes a couple of the hobbies that I am interested in, and I think I mentioned writing. I probably loosely touched on writing. So for today, I want to talk a little bit more about my writing. I want to talk about when I started it, why I started it, what I have gone through to get to where I am right now, and where I am right now in my whole process. So I know, for starters, I started writing because I had a love for books. I would always go to the library. I would always check out so many books, and I would just binge read, and it was just so much fun to me. I loved the escape, but I also needed that escape for what happened in my past. Like I didn't have like the ideal childhood, like most kids probably wouldn't. And we all had to find some type of escape in some way, shape, or form. And so reading books was my escape. And when you spend a lot of your time reading books, you have the tendency to develop your own stories. Your imagination just runs wild and you just have to get stuff down on paper. I remember the book that segued me into writing was probably going to come under fire for that, but for Twilight. I understand that there's a lot of problematic moments in Twilight, but it wasn't the story that hooked me initially. It was the writing style. I really love Stephanie Meyer's writing style. And even to this day, I still like her writing style. I read Midnight Sun, and honestly, not only do I love the writing style in that book, but I also love that there's a new narrative and we're following Edward instead of Bella. I know that's crazy, but Twilight, I couldn't deal with Bella. I just couldn't even deal with her. It was just so problematic. But I'm gonna leave that for another time when I talk about my books. Also, I love The Witcher too. I have to just throw that out there because it also gives me a lot of inspiration for my writing, for all my future stories. The names are very hard to pronounce in that book, though. That's the only downside. I don't know if I'm saying some of the names right. But back to the writing. So as I said, Twilight, the story of Twilight and the writing style got me into writing. And because of that, I used to focus too much on that book when I did decide to start writing. So just going back a little bit, I got in trouble and I was sent to my grandmother's house for a while. And my close friend allowed me to use his laptop to keep me busy while I was over there. He was really good about that. And I didn't really know what to do with my time, so I just started just writing whatever came to my mind. And the story literally had no plot. It had no real story. It just didn't make any sense at all, but I was basically free writing and that's all that mattered. I gained so many really cool and interesting characters from that. And then when I got back home, I decided to give my book a little bit more depth. And so I started to unknowingly, I wasn't necessarily plagiarizing the story of Twilight, but I was taking little bits and pieces of the dialogue and using them and changing them for my own benefit, for my stories, because I really loved how they flowed. And so that was kind of problematic now that I look back on it. I just didn't know what I was doing. I didn't know how to write. I was looking at other stories and just basically picking whatever I thought was interesting. And so it was basically very patchworky. I still have no idea what my first story was even about. The first story I wrote, I called it The Misery of Melancholy. I don't know why. I have no idea. Maybe I was just in that little down, mentality teenagers have, because I was like 16 at the time when I started writing. And I do know that the main character had powers. Everyone had powers. There were these different factions in the book that all had like some kind of specific power, and they had like some kind of animal attributed to them where they could change and shift into these animals. The first problem that I had is that I did not call these different buildings of power factions. I called them cults. I did not know what a cult was apparently back then. And so when I got to the point where I felt like I could query very well, where I could like write up the letter to kind of get a literary agent's interest in my story, I wrote it up, and I'm like 90% sure that I use cult, the word cult, in my query letters. So yeah. And then like I learned how to do my synopsis, so I even mentioned even more. Problem is that the factions in my book of power, all the places where like all these different groups of people based off their powers lived, they weren't cults. They weren't like these religious things where people were kind of like forced into like servitude or anything like that. It was literally just like having little mansions or something just scattered around the world where certain people of different powers lived together and they cohabitated and they just learned how to like train their powers and become better. They weren't cults, after what I learned later down the road. And so I really think that that's probably why I got rejected a lot. And not even just because of that, because I literally wrote my first story at 174,000 words. and being a debut novelist, that is a no-go. When you are first learning how to write your stories, you're first learning to write your stories, you really have to take the time to edit down as much as you can, especially if you're not an established author, you don't have any published works. 174,000 words is freaking nuts. And I just thought that that was like amazing. I was like, oh, I did it. This is nice. You know, that's an awesome number to get. And after doing some research, I realized that no, it isn't. I'm not going to get picked for multiple reasons. So not only in my query letter that I mentioned that the book had 174,000 words, I also mentioned cults to a literary agent who probably was not for religious things. So that was kind of a fail. And I didn't even intend for it to come off that way because I didn't even know what cults are. So that's just really rough for me. I remember just spending so much money in SASEs, which are basically self-addressed stamped envelopes. And so you had to like address it to yourself and then buy stamps and buy the envelopes. And then you had to mail out your query letter and whatever else the literary agent wanted from you. And then they would send back the little envelope that you put inside of the envelope, basically to tell you that, no, this sucks, I don't want this. It's basically what's happening. It's just like, oh, this isn't a fit for us. Well, basically they're just saying that it's not very good. It doesn't stand out. But I'm pretty sure that mine were just flaming piles of dog crap. And they were just sent back to me because it was a waste of time. It was a waste of money. It was bad. Like, I don't even want to know what that book looks like. I don't even want to read it. Like, at one point I was really interested in seeing what I wrote back then when I was 16, and then the cringe factor kind of set in and I thought, you know what, I probably don't want to read that. I don't want to deal with that at all. And then I ended up losing the story anyway. So my computer ended up having like this power issue that caused the corruption, and because of that we had to factory reset the entire computer. And that meant that we lost everything. Back then we had, I think it was an HP, just an old HP computer. And I think it ran on, what was it? I don't know if it was Vista. I don't remember what the program was. Windows Vista? No, it was Windows XP, I think. It was Windows XP. So old. It was a Windows XP, and everybody in my household, my brother, my sister, me, we all had our own accounts. So we all made our own accounts on the computer. And me being so controlling as I was, I made sure that I was an administrator so that no one can get into my stuff in any way and see what I was writing, because I was always embarrassed about my writing. And I always felt like I didn't have a lot of support when it came to my writing. Mostly because my mom, she would always ask things like, hey, don't write things about the family. Or she would ask, like, I hope you're not writing something bad about the family. Because we just happened to have a family member who did something just like that. And I'm just like, no, all my stuff is fiction. None of my stuff is real. And I just never had support for my writing, which sucks. So us losing all of that data, it didn't matter to anybody. Which is why I say now, please, please, please make sure to save your data to an outside source. When I am writing my stories now in present time, I have to make sure that they are saved to two separate USB drives. And every time I write anything on my computer, I have to make sure that I'm saving it to an outside source, because my computer is wonky. And even if your computer isn't wonky, you never know. Things happen. Make sure you do a backup. Maybe it's a good thing that I lost all of the data during that whole computer fiasco, because I feel like if I would have held on to all of the older data that I had, all of the older versions of that book, I feel like I probably wouldn't have progressed and moved forward, and I wouldn't have had the drive to write something a little bit different, a little bit better. And I probably wouldn't be in a situation I'm in right now. Like, I would have held on to that as long as I could, and I probably would have never fixed it or saw any errors in what I was writing. So after that, I ended up going to the military for some time. I stopped writing. I didn't do much writing at all at this time. If I did manage to do some writing, it's because I had the time to do so, and mentally I was able to do so, because with writing, you have to just be in the zone. And I was literally out of the zone for years, and I had a writer's block for such a long time. With writer's block, they always say to, like, watch movies that are in the same genre or read books in the same genre. I did those things, and I also listened to music that would help to, you know, build my ideas a little further. Problem is, back in the day when I would do that, I was listening to music as I was writing, so maybe that's the problem. I think maybe that's why I just couldn't think and make up a real plot, because I was listening to music as I was writing, and that seems very freaking distracting. Like, I couldn't possibly imagine doing that right now. If I am in writer's block now, I listen to music while I'm walking around the house, and I take notes of, like, what I think would be interesting. Another strange thing about my writing is that a lot of good ideas come to me when I'm just laying down on a couch, just relaxed, and, like, I'm not doing anything. So I could just be laying there, probably getting ready to take a nap, and I'm like, oh, that'd be a really, really good idea. And I just write that down. So if you don't have that, make sure to have, like, a notepad or something by your bed. If you don't want to do that because it's really weird to do, I also have an app called Jotterpad on my phone. And I take a lot of notes on Jotterpad really quickly. It helps me so much, especially when I need to edit something in my story, or if I think about something that doesn't make any sense in my story, so I can go back and edit it from the notes that I wrote down. Like, oh, that doesn't make any sense. Let me go to my app really quickly, and I'm going to just, like, type that in and say, hey, go back and look and see if that made any sense or if that person said that. It helped tremendously. So after I got out of the military, I did start writing again. A story, The Misery of Melancholy, changed to a story that I called Origin. I changed it to Origin. I thought it was a really cool name. It would still kind of follow the same ideas, but I changed so much. I think, like, the one thing that I thought was kind of odd for me to write about is that the main character, she's, like, this magical girl who doesn't know much about her past, like most books of the genre. And she ends up getting moved out of her household to go and live with another magical person who is way older than she is. So the conflict there is that She's a minor, and this is what I wrote when I was a teenager, and I thought to keep going with it for some reason. I was like, no, I have to take that out of the story. But the strangest part about that is when I started querying for that story again, I want to say this was back in 2016, maybe 2016, 2017, I started querying for this story again. And I actually had a couple of literary agents who wanted to see partial story. And I was actually really surprised by that. And so when I did send out the partials, I was just so happy that someone took interest in my story. But then I was let down later on when they said that it wasn't a fit. And you'd really get your hopes up really high when someone wants to see a partial or maybe even like your full manuscript. And then you're like, nah, it's not for us. That's probably like the hardest thing to deal with. It's harder to deal with someone wanting to have a partial or a full and being rejected versus someone just rejecting you because your query letter and your sample chapters just do not live up to what they want or something that they will be able to market in any kind of way. So I had to take that and I basically just stopped writing for a while because it actually was very depressing. I think that's why a lot of literary agents, they try their hardest to tell potential clients and people that they have to reject that, hey, this is a very subjective organization. This is like we have to pick what's best for our company. So it's very, very, it's very hard to get published. And it's very subjective. Like we have to choose wisely. And so, but that doesn't mean that, you know, your writing is terrible. And we're not saying that this is kind of like a judgment on what kind of writer that you are. Just know that this is a very competitive field and this will happen. And I noticed that in a lot of my query letter rejections recently versus ones in the past, like people would just say, no, this isn't a fit for me. And they would just keep it moving. And now they explain to their writers that, you know, sorry, very competitive. This isn't against you as a writer. You know, we just have to be very selective. I like that. I really do like that because it's a lot better. It's a lot better than being told, no, sorry. It's basically like an F you. And in some instances, that's how I took it as a writer. And so after that, I just decided that I wanted to write something completely different. So I moved on to a story called Flames of the Wicket. I'm not going to go much into that one because I'm still working on it. I'm actually querying for that, but under a new name, and I changed a lot about it. So when I first wrote the story, it was like 75,000 words. I wanted it to be a little bit more than that because it's a young adult urban fantasy. And so I wrote it, I queried for it, and I just wasn't feeling the story at all. But I got rejected and then I stopped after a few rejections to go back and rewrite the entire story. I don't know what's wrong with me. Like, I don't edit my stories. Like, I have an edition of the story and then I just completely redo it. Instead of editing, I just redo the whole thing or just move on to something completely different. So I have it under a new name. I've completed it at, I think, 108,000. And I try not to have it be that freaking high, but with fantasy stories, you really have to, actually explain everything. You have to give so much detail to the story, especially if it's like fantastical elements, or you have to explain something about the characters in a magical sense. And around that time, I started taking English classes. I took creative writing classes. I was able to gain a lot of expertise on how to make my story more interesting. And at the same time, I came out of the class with really, really interesting and really fascinating stories that I wrote from the class that I'm going to take and I want to do something with those stories later down the road. And so then I made a Twitter. I'm not sure if I had a Twitter account before or after. I don't know. I want to say I made the Twitter account either in 2019 or 2020. I can't remember at all. My first Twitter account was under my writing persona, CL Day. Also like CL as a letter, C and L and the word day. So I have like two versions of that. And I just wanted to do that so I could have a writing community that I can ask questions to and to also get a lot of insight from. I also have a Twitter account for my podcasting and my voiceovers. I'm Raina CL. So basically, like, for what I'm doing right now, this actually has a Twitter account as well as my writing. I wanted to keep those two things separate because I just don't feel like they really blend together, and I think it's very conflicting and confusing to have that many things going on one Twitter account. So there's voiceovers and podcasting on my Raina CL page. So right now with my book, I have been getting a lot of rejections. I'm still waiting for several people to get back to me. I know, like, with COVID-19 last year, it's made it really, really hard for a literary agents to get back immediately. They are really swamped. They are really behind. And it kind of makes me nervous sometimes because I use a website called Query Tracker. And basically on Query Tracker, you can go and find a bunch of literary agents who are willing to accept unsolicited material, which is basically material that does not need another agent for you to get in the door. So solicited material, you will need an agent to refer you to an agent, versus unsolicited, you just go forward to that agent directly and they accept things like that. You just want to have all your stuff very refined and polished and ready to go before you decide to go out to that person and, like, reach out to them to represent your story. So the one thing that had me pretty concerned about my, well, I'm not sure I'm, like, concerned, but I'm just, like, really nervous, is that on Query Tracker, you can see rejections. A lot of people post their rejections or if they were accepted or things like that underneath the comments section, underneath the literary agent that you're querying. And I would always see, like, around the time that I submitted my query, someone else also submitted their query and they got a rejection, or no one has heard from the literary agent at all, or someone got accepted and it just happened to be days after mine. And I'm always just fearful that maybe my query got forgotten, especially if we use, like, the online form version versus the emails. So that's just kind of, like, my concern right now, because that's happening a lot. I see a lot of people that are getting, like, either rejected or accepted around the same, like, time window as me, but I haven't heard anything back. And so that's kind of, like, the most nerve-wracking part of all of this so far. Another thing I've noticed that I saw someone mention how embarrassed they were that they had, like, a block query letter. So we all have, like, a query letter that we already have saved that it's ready to go for, like, anybody. Just remember to take the name out of the beginning of the query letter. So what I do is I just say dear and I put comma. I don't have a name in there, so that when I go in and I look and I copy and paste it into, like, the field, I can type their name in then, because someone had it where they had the literary agent's name already copied and pasted in there and they sent the wrong name to the literary agent, and of course they got a rejection because they didn't even take the time to do that, and it looks very unprofessional. So please make sure that you are paying attention to that when you're sending out your query letters. That's probably just really, really embarrassing. The same thing, like, with a synopsis. I don't know if you would put the name in a synopsis, but the same thing goes for that too. With my writing, when it comes to querying, so it's not so, I don't know, like, sad or, like, something that'll make you really, really sad or down when you get rejections. I think the best way to go about this is to do the ABC group method for queries. And I found it very beneficial for me, so it doesn't hurt as much. So ABC groupings basically means you take each of the literary agents that you have the tendency, or, like, well, not the tendency, that you have the idea to query, and you group them into A, B, or C category. A being, like, the one person that you really want, and C being, like, it's okay if I get rejected by that person, and, you know, B is probably just in between. And I think this helps so much for my mental health when it comes to querying. So, like, I would take one literary agent and say, okay, I'm going to put them in A group. And then I'll take the person that I'm like, oh, maybe I can query them, but maybe I'm not really, you know, for that person completely, but I like their work. But if I don't get picked, I don't get picked, and that's fine. I'm going to put that person in C group, and then someone in the middle, B group or something. And then I send out maybe a round of 6 or 7 query letters at a time. But you want to keep it pretty even. So I send out more C groups than I send out the other two. Because that's also very helpful to my mental health, because I can think like, well, it wasn't the best anyway. You know, like, it wasn't as good as the person I picked for A, so it doesn't really affect me as much. I don't do A or B's as much because I want to hold on to those, because if it doesn't go really well with the C groups, it gives you time to, like, stop your querying processes and go back and see what's not working, which is very, very helpful. So, like, if I'm getting a lot of rejections from C group and B group, maybe I'm going to go back and see if I can change anything, if at all, in my querying and my synopsis before I start sending out to A group, because A group is very limited and those are the people that I really, really want. Also, like, one other thing that I learned how to do is how to write a synopsis. So when it comes to writing a synopsis, I make sure to have, like, the bare bones of the story. You want to make sure that you have the bare bones of the story first. Take out what doesn't carry any weight to the story whatsoever, and save what does. So what I do in this process is I go through the story and think about, what are the main parts of the story that I want people to know? And then what are the main parts of the story that I want people to know for the ending? And I feel like if the part of the story that I'm thinking about does not carry much weight at all and can be completely taken out and do not affect the story, it doesn't need to be in a synopsis. This makes it so much easier. You can also do the process of, like, the first 10. So I would say write down, like, the top 10 or the first 10 things that you can think of that just absolutely have to be in the synopsis. Or if you were telling this to somebody, these are the top things that you absolutely have to have somebody know about the story. And thinking about it this way made writing the synopsis so much easier for me. It took me about a day to write the synopsis using this formula. But when I write, I typically, it's just spelling error city. Nothing makes any sense until I actually make it make a little bit more sense and I smooth out all the rough edges. So that's how I do that. That's how I get my synopsis and my query letter going. And so far it's working for me. Since I am in the querying process right now, I can't say what my book is doing at the moment, but I will let you guys know how it goes, if it goes anywhere. I'm also planning on writing some other stories beside the book that I'm writing, because the book I'm currently writing and querying for is possibly going to be part of a series. So I want to try to start writing something else to take my mind off of this story for the meantime, because I need a break. I've been writing this story for like 2 years. I finally got it to a place that I really love, and now I want to move on to something else to take a break. And hey, I mean, I'm going to get something else out of it. I'll probably get another story. It'll be great. It'll be good. I will see how this goes, and then I'll go back and write the second book for the other story. So with that said, I'm going to just move on to fact or vocab. And an interesting thing that I just saw, I want to say 2 days ago, was that Google was not originally called Google. Google was actually going to be called Backrub. Can you imagine saying I'm just going to go and backrub that instead of saying I'm going to Google that? So Backrub was the original name for Google. Until I think their names are Sergey Brin and Larry Page rebranded the company as Google Incorporated. because I always wondered if they were trying to use the word Googleplex. I'm not sure. I thought that's what it was originally, because the number Googleplex is 10 to the 100th power, I believe. And so when you search on Google, I noticed that they have all O's. Like, you can keep clicking on the O's to go to, like, the next page, I think. Or, I don't know if they do that anymore, but, like, you could just keep clicking on, like, all of the O's. It will, like, take you to a different one. Or maybe I'm thinking about something else. I don't know. But I always thought that Google was supposed to be, like, a play on the word Googleplex, even though they were spelling it wrong. I guess not. I don't know. I'm just going to stop. Well, thank you all again for listening. I am Raina Ciao, and you are listening to Daybreak and Petrichor. I'll see you all really, really soon. Bye.